Today on Real Radio.
And those of you who are born again tonight, you are just as purchased now as you will be the day before you're standing in front of God Almighty. Isn't that incredible? And people wonder if you can lose your salvation. Not if you're sealed, pal.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're asking the question, are you sealed by the Holy Spirit? It's a mini-series that examines chapter 1, where Paul's opening remarks of the letter mention this principle. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called, Are You Sealed by the Holy Spirit?
God will complete that which He's begun in you. Write it out! And I really think that God is saying to us, hold it up to me, present it to me. Come on. God says, you know, try me. You have a need. God wants to know, you know, a lot of our needs in our lives, you know what God's trying to do? We have a need in our life. God is trying to get us to apply the Word to the need. That's why we have the need. God allows the need to come up, so He wants us to see if we're going to take the Word. We get the Word, hold it up to Him. God, you said that you would come and help me in this situation. You said that you would never, you know, we don't have a dime left, God, and you said that the righteous would never be forced to begging bread. God, we need your sustenance. We need your supply. We need your help. God, you said that if we follow you and our heart is right with you and seeking you, that you give us the desires of our heart, Lord. Do we dare be so bold? Are we spending time? Do we know Him enough? Are we just walking with Him, enjoying this thing that He's given us, eternal life, and we're just experiencing God? And we say, God, you said you'll give us the desires of our hearts. Listen, isn't that an amazing thing to promise somebody? Can you imagine? Junior, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Can you imagine? Junior coming up, hey, Dad, I'm going to delight myself in you. You know what that means? Dad, the things that interest you, I want those things to interest me. I want to do those things that are interesting to you, that means something to you. I want to delight myself in you, Lord. I want to crawl inside your mind, Dad, and know what you're thinking and then act or be accordingly. And we've got the Bible. We know how God thinks. We know what He says. We know what He's feeling. And to know that is to say, Lord, can you work that out in my life? Can you make me a blessing, you know, to you? He wants to do it. And when that begins to happen, God's not sitting up there worrying about, oh no, you know, He's kind of delighting Himself in me. Now He's going to ask for, like, you know, a new Porsche or something. He doesn't, you know, oh no. You know, you won't want to ask for a Porsche. You'll ask for a Suburban or something godly, you know. You'll ask because God will be prompting your heart and it'll be pleasing to Him. The very desires of God in heaven will become your desires and you'll respond that way. It's an amazing thing. But He's given us these precious promises and these guarantees of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of His riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways, they're past finding out. So we've got this checkbook of promises we can write. Romans 11:33. Philippians 4:19. You know this one. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You have a need? There's a promise, Philippians 4:19. Write it down, take it to the Lord, hold it up, say, Jesus, you made me this promise. Isn't it wonderful, you guys? Have we made God any promises? Some of you may be new believers. And you're going to learn. You make Him no promises. I've been a Christian 18 and a half years. It's taken me 18 years to realize I'm no longer making Him any promises. Every time I made Him a promise, I broke it within a couple hours or a couple days. Didn't mean to. And as I look through the Bible, nowhere does it demand or command of me to make Him a promise. What it does demand and command of me is to believe His promises that He's given me. Every one of them. He loves us. Whenever I go away, I always get my kids a thimble or a spoon. You know those things? They're like $3.99. Don't tell them that it's that. They think it's like really top stuff. But, you know, and wherever I go, I get these things, and you're scrambling around. They get excited over that stuff. What'd you get? And we're trying to get this collection going so that, you know, if the Lord doesn't come back and I'm dead and gone and Lisa and I are in heaven and, you know, relaxing on the retirement program with the Lord and just letting them live their lives down here and letting God reward them for all the grief. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, they look at the things and, oh, you know, Dad got this and there and that thing and, you know. And so, you know, tonight, I got here like 10 minutes before the service, coming from Reno, and getting ready to, you know, getting on the airplane, and it's, I don't have anything. You know, and I think somebody's going to make a lot of money if you go to LAX and have little trinkets from all over the world right there. So when you come from wherever you've come from, you can say, hope you enjoy it. I got this in Rome, you know. And it's like, L.A. Yeah. But the thing is, you know, and then they all excited and you give it to them. It's the thimble, you know, and they put in the, you know, and. Well, you know what? They're kids. It's, oh, neat. And they never think about it again. But it means, you know, and I think it means more to me than it does to them. I like doing it. And I like fulfilling the promise, and I like them having it. God wants to fulfill the promise, and He really enjoys us having it the way a dad does. And it's a really neat thing. And though we may just go, that's neat, put it on the shelf, the fact is, it is true. And it's His promise. And it's His guarantee. It's His pledge. It's what He's given us. And there's a beautiful picture here. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? Well, this inheritance is the possession, or literally in the Greek and Hebrew, it is air, not air like airplane, but airship, like an air. To receive something from a relative. And here's a beautiful thing. Listen to this. There's a great painting of this in the Old Testament. Genesis, you don't need to turn to it. You can jot it down in your footnotes right along verse 14. You can just put Genesis chapter 22 to 24. Great story about this very thing we're talking about. Eliezer is mentioned earlier on in Genesis chapter 15. He's Abraham's right-hand man. He's a servant of Abraham. Now get this. Father Abraham. You got it? The father of faith. The progenitor of the heirs of salvation. Father Abraham. He has a servant named Eliezer, who's mentioned in chapter 15. Sarah dies. She's out of the picture. While Sarah is out of the picture, and after Sarah is out of the picture, Abraham says to his chief servant, name not mentioned at this point, mentioned earlier in chapter 15, go to the land of my brethren and find my son a wife. Can you imagine being a servant of somebody, go find somebody a wife? I mean, I would be saying, do a good job, man! You know, you'd send that guy out with pictures and, you know, something like this, will you? Keep your eye open. If you're going to come back with somebody, you know, let's do a good job, okay? Are you praying? So Abraham says, you, go find my son a wife. What a job. And he's going on his way. And he says, Lord, prosper my trip. And for me to know who I'm to get my master's wife for, can you like show me through? Maybe she can water the camels and I'll know. So they, you know, Eliezer, remember, his name's not mentioned in the story, shows up and there's this woman by the name of Rebecca. And the story goes on, and come to find out, you know, he's talking to Rebecca, and I want to talk to your dad, and they wind up going to her house, and the deal is laid out before Rebecca's dad, and that is, I represent my master, faraway land. You know who he is? Well, his son is Isaac. And here's the deal. I've asked God to prosper my trip. Your daughter came out of the countryside and watered the camels and did exactly what I asked God to do, to show me the sign. And I want to take her back, and she's going to become the bride of my master's son, Isaac. And they all say, well, you know, we need to talk about this, and, you know, does she want to do this? And it's really neat because this guy, who's not mentioned in the story, begins to show Rebecca gifts. He opens up a bag and he gives her earrings, bracelets, presents. And he says, these are down payments, promises, and tokens of my master's wealth, his security, his possessions, who he is. And Rebecca says, I'm going. She's never seen Isaac. She's only heard about Isaac. And there's a man representing the kingdom giving her gifts, whose name's not mentioned. He puts her on the camel, and along the way back home to Isaac, he's given her gifts. Along the way. And the moment she sees Isaac, come on, they didn't have Polaroids then. But she is riding on her camel. She sees Isaac, who's sitting in the field. He's probably praying or something. He's out there maybe, devotion, I don't know. She jumps off the camel and runs and greets. They become married. They're married. He takes her into Sarah's room and consummates the wedding right there. Absolute, ordained of God. Well, the beautiful thing about this is that all along the way, she was given presents and promises of this one that she had never seen. Back up. Eliezer, sent from the father to find the bride for the son, his name not mentioned in Genesis 22 to 24, the reason being is because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. So what's the connection? Eliezer in Hebrew is the word, the comforter. Jesus says, I will send you the comforter, the promise, whom you will receive from the Father. The Holy Spirit has gone away to earth from heaven to earth, to not only seal us, but the Holy Spirit, are you ready? The Holy Spirit, when sealing us, is bound by a transaction as the servant buyer dispatched to a foreign land to deposit who you are in heaven, intact, completely preserved, kept safe, secure, as a possession of the Master. He will not lose you along the way. Nobody will break the seal. I will never leave you or forsake you. All who come to the Father, all who come to me, Jesus says, will no wise, I will in no wise cast out. Eliezer, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, finds the bride of Christ. We are en route to meet the one whom Jesus said, who the Scriptures say, and whom we've never met yet we love. We are pledged to Him. We're promised to Him. He's given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit along the way. All along the way. And even Sarah is a symbol of the nation Israel, who Isaac was recipient of a bride after Israel. The nation typified through Sarah had passed away, at least for a time. And here's what I think is the most wonderful thing is Isaac, being the good Jewish boy that he is, takes to him a Gentile bride. She had Gentile blood in her veins. That's just like us. A promise. God, if you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, God is going to present you in heaven, guaranteed. How do you know? Because it says that who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Until the redemption of His of the purchased possession. You know what this means? Real quickly, we'll wrap this up. It means this. This word redemption means redemption in totality. All redemption. And what do you mean by that? This is what's meant. The absolute taking of ownership. Jesus will take absolute ownership not long from now. This is what the word means. It means in spirit, He will take possession of us in spirit. That means you're born again who you are. Your rebirth. Okay? Remember that. Second thing is, He will take you, that is, in totality, in complete redemption, your soul. Your soul. Not only your spirit, who you are forever, but your soul, that is, your emotions, your personality, your logic. He will take complete ownership in the third area, absolute ownership in the body that is to be resurrected or raptured. Depends on where you're at when it happens. Isn't that amazing? In other words, not one part of you is going to be left behind somewhere. Body, soul, and spirit is what's mentioned here in absolute redemption. When you're redeemed in the final end, God is going to receive all of you. You're not going to have this glorious body in heaven and be brain dead. Body, soul, and spirit. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, purchased all of you. Body, soul, and spirit. The redemption of the purchased possession. The purchased possession means what was paid for. Here's what's fun. Paid for when? Paid for the moment the buyer put the down payment. Because the seal was embossed upon the item, and nobody in the world would tamper with that seal until it arrived in heaven or until it arrived with the Master. That's when the transaction truly happened, is when the little down payment was given. And those of you who are born again tonight, you are just as purchased now as you will be the day before you're standing in front of God Almighty. Isn't that incredible? And people wonder if you can lose your salvation. Not if you're sealed, pal. Are you sealed by the Holy Spirit? I want to read a few verses. Just listen to this. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the down payment, expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of this corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation of God has been groaning in pains of childbirth right up until this present moment. Not only so, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit groaning inwardly within us as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies. That's why you get a little homesick sometimes and you want to go to heaven. This world's not so exciting anymore. It's pretty dead. 1 Corinthians 15:50. This is what it means. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going there like you are. Can't happen. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That's the rapture of the church. From the trumpet, though the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We're talking about being changed in the moment when the rapture happens. Not the second coming, but the rapture. And so it goes on to say that we are going to be to the praise of His glory. Listen, God's going to save you. He's going to present you, not because you're such a hot shot, because you're so cute or whatever. He's going to present you before the kingdom, totally intact, from start to finish, saved all the way through, absolutely complete and done, to the praise of His glory. You have a hard time with that? I don't have a hard time with that at all. If He wants to get all the praise and the glory for it, I'm just fine to bow my knee and to yield to Him and let Him have ownership of me. It's no problem. Not a bad deal. He has absolutely sealed us with a guarantee.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's part of a mini-series called Are You Sealed by the Holy Spirit? A look at verses 12, 13, and 14 of chapter 1. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more of Ephesians chapter 1. Well, one of the most infamous dates in all U.S. history is coming up. We all see the bumper stickers that remind us never to forget, and we hope that every Real Radio listener never will. Well, to help us better understand the terrorism, carnage, and Antichrist views of Islam, we are once again offering Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. The author refuses to keep silent in this politically correct society of ours and warns Westerners about this very real threat. If you missed our offer last time, now's your opportunity to take advantage once again. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Visit realradioactive.org for more about the book and its author, and to make your contribution. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can find out all of our contact information once again by visiting realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.